Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. That is me. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that sentence. I am absolutely thrilled that you've joined me. I hope you've had a good day up to this point. I hope you had a good day at work. If that's where you're just climbing in your car and driving home from work, thanks for tuning in. It's great having you. If you are listening on the app, I don't know where you might be listening, welcome as well. I know we have all of our friends out east in Hartford and all across the upper Midwest that could tune in. And if you are, thank you. It's really nice to have you listening. As you know, every so often we have Deep Thinker Thursday. And from what I can tell, it is Thursday. And from what I can tell, my studio guests, John and Pam Bloom, are already in studio. So it is Deep Thinker Thursday. And we're excited to talk to them. We're going to talk about some advice he has, which is don't follow your heart. Do I have your interest? I thought so. Yeah. And just I want to remind our listeners that next Thursday, November 1st, is going to be the live broadcast of the show, Afternoons with Me, and it's going to be happening right here at the University of Northwestern. We're going to be in the media room, so there's going to be lots of elbow room as well for you to sit and watch the broadcast of the show. And as a special tease, two of my special guests will be John and Pam Bloom. So this is just a tease of what's going to be happening live next Thursday. And if you want to come to the show, all you have to do is go to the webpage and click on the, I'd like to get a seat to that event. And there's no cost to come, just want to come and meet you and get to know you a little bit, and you can watch a live taping of the show. So we're very excited about that. That's next Thursday. We're going to have to cut off invitations pretty soon, but if you want to squeeze in, we'd love to have you. There's still some open seats available. All right, it is 6 minutes after the hour. John and Pam Bloom are in studio. We'll take a very short break, and then when we come back, Deep Thinker Thursday.
From Graceworks Pictures comes Indivisible, based on the true story of Army Chaplain Darren Turner and his wife, Heather.
It is with great honor that I have served my country, but I only stand before you today because Jesus is my rock and because I have a family who loves and believes in me.
One marriage, one family, under God. Indivisible, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13, in theaters October 26th. More information is available at indivisiblemovie.com.
Faith Radio connects Christian faith to real life for people every day. To learn more about us and what's currently happening here, view our ministry updates page at myfaithradio.com. You can also see the latest trending articles featuring recent guest interviews and stay informed about upcoming events and current giveaways. That's ministry updates found under the About tab at myfaithradio.com.
To the show, 7 minutes after the hour. John and Pam Bloom are in studio for Deep Thinker Thursday. John serves as author, board chair, and co-founder of Desiring God. If you've been to desiringgod.org and read his articles, you know he's a deep thinker and a wise man and a godly man, and with him as well as his wife, Pam, also the same, a deep thinker and a godly woman. So I'm always happy when they come into the studio. They're going to be part of my live broadcast next Thursday, so you're going to get a chance to meet them as well. John has written a number of articles on don't follow your heart. And I want to first just welcome you both to the show. Nice to have you back.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. John, following your heart, that's a cultural creed. It's the creed embraced by billions of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's so pervasive that we almost don't think about it. It's in our movies. It's in our novels, it's in our songs, this idea that we have this true thing inside of us that we call our heart. And if we can just get in contact with it, if we can just tap into it, it will guide us in the right way. And so when somebody says they want to follow their heart, I call it a cultural creed because it almost has a sacredness to it. People feel, I mean, if somebody says, well, I'm following my heart, we might feel a bit hesitant because it almost feels like sacred ground. Well, if they're following their heart, I guess they must be right.
I mean, they're not. That's not to be challenged.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we have the sense that following your heart is a sacred journey and will lead us to happiness, our true happiness, if we can just do it right.
John, you write in this article that essentially it's a belief that your heart is a compass inside of you that will direct you to your own true north if you just have the courage to follow it.
That's right.
Now, when we say love the Lord your God with all your heart, do we look at heart as the decision-making center of who we are?
Well, I think part of the issue, the reason why I say don't follow your heart is I'm being provocative because I want to challenge some of the assumptions that go into that idea. And I think it mainly is because I don't think we stop to think carefully about what that means. I mean, what in fact is the heart? And I think that the heart is, and I'm going to speak from the Bible now, from a biblical worldview, the heart is what we would call the seat of our affections. So our heart is what is a gauge inside of us that tells us how much we value someone or something. All right, so it's our treasurer. It's our being's treasurer, and we call it a heart. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, but it's the core part of us that gauges what we think is valuable. That's what I think the heart is, and so that we can call it a compass. You know, we can call it a gauge, and. And we can call it a guide. You know, that's, you know, if you're saying follow your heart, you're considering it a guide of some kind. And I just don't think the Bible talks about the heart that way.
Well, didn't you say that the Bible or the heart is also the wanter? It wants stuff.
It does, yeah. So let's just back up a little bit let's just talk about on a more superficial level how we kind of think about the heart in our just our common cultural understanding. We think that the heart is this guide that's going to guide us to the place we need to be. It's, you know, if we're lost, our heart is going to help us find ourselves, or it'll take us where we need to go. If our heart is our compass, it's gonna point to the true north, and if we just follow it, we'll get there. But here's what I want to say first, before you even jump into too much about sort of this spiritual anatomy. All we need to do is stop and think about some of the things that our hearts have spoken to us today. Probably. We would not want to repeat them, some of those things. So our hearts have sociopathic tendencies. So we need to be very careful to say, well, I'm following my heart. Yeah. Well, if you're following your heart, you got to be very careful because your heart is a sociopath left to itself. You know, and here's some examples. So we got... think about this. Let's think of some biblical examples of people when they what are some things that they did when they followed their heart? Well, let's look at David, King David. All right. So at one point, a guy named Nabal disses David. This is before he's king, and David's heart gets enraged and tells him, you know, it's time to take out Nabal. So he gets his guys and says, we're going after Nabal. We're going to take him out. So he's riding, you know. And it's Abigail, Nabal's wise wife, who intercepts him and wisely kind of helps quell his anger. And David realizes, well, if you wouldn't have done this, I would have done something horrible. I would have killed him, and I would have blood guilt on my hands. There's another infamous time that David followed his heart, and that's when he was up on the roof of his house, and he looked over and he saw a woman bathing. and he lusted after her. He committed adultery with her. He took her as Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and got him into, I mean, just that turned out absolutely horribly. Not a wise heart impulse to follow. And later on, late in David's life, he took a census. You know, he followed his heart. He did not follow God's direction. He followed his desires, his heart. And it resulted in tens of thousands of people dying from a plague. And so, and there's lots of examples. But we all have those impulses. How often do we have to stop and kind of, you know, stop our hearts from wanting things that they should not want?
Like all day. Yeah.
So that's why I want to say, this is not the kind of leader that you want to follow. You know, not that everything our heart feels is wrong. It's just that it's corrupt. It's fallen. It's got an element of the fall. And so therefore it's infected like the rest of our bodies, our minds. It's infected. The seat of affections is infected with indwelling sin. And so it's vulnerable to deception. And Jeremiah, here's what Jeremiah says about the heart. He says that the heart is wicked beyond all else and desperately sick. Who can know it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bible speaks, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not neutral, and it's not talking about this wonderful, 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 benign thing that just wants to take us to goodness and happiness. It talks about something that's got sickness in it and needs to be reined in and actually needs to be directed, which is what the writer of the Proverbs says, direct your heart, not follow your heart.
I love it. Now, we have probably stepped on some toes already. John.
Good.
Pam, what do you have to say about your husband right now?
Well, just practically speaking, I'm familiar in life with conversations we've had where one of us might, or I want something and it seems fine and then it's challenged or I might have a vision for something that I think is good and it might even have a godly influence, but I've added my preferences to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's challenged, my pride goes up and like, don't question that. This feels so right. But as you were talking, I was remembering a verse in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seems right to mm-hmm. a man, but in the end is the way to death. Well, that's very sobering and not often where I think. Like, I'm familiar with what feels right to me, but I need to put that under the authority of the Word of God and God himself. Like, I am not the boss of myself. All of my desires are not pure, and that's humbling to admit. That's right. I wish they were. Many are. Increasingly, they are. But I need to admit where they're corrupt and they're tainted still.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're talking to John and Pam Bloom. We're having a discussion about don't follow your heart. Now, I want to let every listener participate in this discussion with a question that you might have or a confusion you might have. You want us to clarify something that's been said. You want to add to the discussion or ask a question to John or Pam. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We'll take a little break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. So glad you're with me today. It's Deep Thinker Thursday, which means John and Pam Bloom are in studio with me, and we're talking about following your heart, and that's seems to be a very deceptive phrase because John says, don't follow your heart. It's a book he wrote, and It said, God's ways are not your ways. So we're having a lively discussion, and if you want to be asking us to clarify a point or dig deeper or answer another question, you can call 877-933-2484. I think, John and Pam, before we jump in, I do have a caller on the line already who wants to ask a question, if that's all right. That's Rick from St. Louis Park. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, welcome.
I know you guys are talking about following your heart. What about the issue about inviting Jesus into your heart concerning salvation? I prefer more like inviting Jesus into your life when it comes to salvation. I wanted to see if you'd comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, again, when we say those things, we're using metaphors. I think the way you phrased it is really much more accurate. It's not wrong. When you say to invite Jesus into our heart, you know, that's a way of saying, I want Jesus to rule what I love most. I want to love him most, and I want him to kind of be the governor over everything else that I love. You know, so when we recognize our hearts as the seat of our affections, we want Jesus to be seated on the throne of that seat of affections, and then for all of our affections to be aligned with his. And so, you know, in that sense, it's not wrong, but I would much rather say we invite him into our life and to be, you know, Lord, King, ruler, governor of our of all aspects of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I think
we're with you, Rick.
Right.
We're just getting to that. I think we're just working that direction, and you prompted us to say it earlier than we were planning on it. But thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I certainly think the Lord knows what you mean when you say that.
Yeah.
So. You know, I don't think he's ignorant. It's just kind of clarifying exactly, you know, when people say, you know, invite Jesus into your heart. Just wanted to get your views on it. Thanks.
Yes, thank
you. You bet. Thanks for calling, Rick.
Bye-bye.
Was he thinking that maybe we were going down a different path?
I don't assume so. I think he was just getting clarification, you know, like because now we're getting, I mean, he's actually, it's just a great, it's a, his comment and question is a good lead-in, I think, because what I want to say when I say don't follow your heart, I'm saying that to get people to think about what that means, and I'm going to go further and say nobody follows their heart, not really, not in the really in the way things actually
That's
work.
That's provocative part two of this.
Yeah, and so
Thinker Thursday.
Yeah, nobody really does, and follow your heart is a confusing phrase. It's more confusing, I think, than even as Rick raised, like, you know, invite Jesus into your heart. I think that it's that saying follow your heart is a very confusing thing because number one, the heart is not designed to follow. I mean, not designed to be followed. It's designed to be led. Okay, that's the design of the heart. Our hearts are not gods inside of us that we're supposed to follow. They are designed to follow God. That's how it actually works. And so if we try to make our hearts gods and ask them to lead us, they're just going to lead us into narcissistic spirals. You know, they're going to be just as Pam, that proverb that Pam read, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's the kind of thing, that's the kind of trouble that we get ourselves into when we quote unquote follow our heart. And so I want people to not, like, don't believe your heart, believe Jesus. Don't follow your heart, you follow Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. Your heart is not a shepherd.
Yeah.
Your heart is just part of the pompous sheep that we are and wants to be the shepherd. You know, like we all want to be the shepherd and we want to guide ourselves.
Your heart's a booking agent. I'll have one of those. I'll have two of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let me take another call. Tyler's calling in from Minneapolis. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Tyler. Yeah, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment. A lot of what you guys are talking about just resonates a lot. I'm a part-time youth pastor, and then my wife works for a nonprofit with mainly non-believers is who she works with. And over the summer, there's been like a lot of guest speakers, and I've been volunteering with them. And we've just been really, really kind of bummed out listening to these speakers because they'll say these things. They'll like briefly mention Jesus in a talk and say like, he loves you as you are, which like like give me a good message, but then it's just like a lot of, but then like the majority of the talk is about follow your heart. Don't let anyone else shape who you are, you know? And it just seems like we walk away from it. It's like basically what they said is follow something. Yeah. That you guys mentioned that God says is desperately wicked, you know, in the Bible. And, Jesus loves you, like loves that part of you and like kind of links all that to their identity and like that narcissistic tendencies and stuff. And we just kind of feel like it's creating
confusion
because like, they're speaking to mainly non-believers, right? Who don't have the Holy Spirit and stuff. We just feel like that it's like instead of creating like people that want to follow Jesus, it's just like making people feel less guilty about being sinners. I don't know.
Thanks, Tyler. John, what do you think? Who wants to take that one?
Well, I think Tyler is right. The things that he listed that are the messages that are being communicated by these particular speakers, they are just straight from our popular culture. I mean, you don't need to be listening to Christian speakers to hear that. You can listen to Oprah and you can listen to all sorts of folks who are saying things along these lines, and where God accepts you as you are. Well, God does not accept you as you are. That's the problem. God, in order for God to accept you, we must be in Jesus. And so Jesus has to come and die for our sins, pay the penalty for our sins, for the corruptness. And then he calls us to a life of obedience, a life to following him. And so God will take sinners. Like, so that's where it gets confusing because people say, you do not need to be good in order to come to God. You come to God as you are, but he doesn't just say, you are okay as you are. No. He says, you're not okay. That's the problem. You've got a big sin problem, and it's going to separate you from me forever if we don't solve that problem. So I've got to solve that problem to you. You come to me as you are, and then you receive my solution to that problem, which is Jesus' sacrifice, and then Jesus' discipleship path that he calls us all to follow.
I'm really glad that, Tyler, you brought this up, because I think it's pervasive in churches, in Bible studies, in podcasts, in self-help books that we just think, well, this is Christian. This is like a Bible study. But to challenge what we're hearing and not to, it can be discouraging, but also see it as this is an opportunity to sharpen one another and to help youth be discerning.
Mm-hmm. Like,
well, this is what is popular. How does this compare to the Bible?
Yeah. I'm speaking to John and Pam Bloom. It's always Deep Thinker Thursday with them. We're talking about following your heart. They're saying don't follow your heart. You want to get involved with the conversation, either by asking a question or making a comment. If you want us to clarify on a few things, or if you want to dig deeper with us, let us know. 877-933-2484. I'll give you that number once again. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. It is 31 minutes after the hour. Awfully glad you're with me today. Hope you're enjoying Deep Thinker Thursday. I know I always do. John and Pam Bloom are in the studio with me. You might know John Bloom from DesiringGod.org and his wife Pam. When she comes along, and it's been doing that now for a while, and it makes me unbelievably happy because these two are so bright, brilliant, and loving, and godly, and I just am so glad that they're going to be joining me next Thursday at the live broadcast so you can meet them in person. So let me throw this question out. What are our hearts made to do?
Well, I think that's the key question. What is our hearts designed to do? And the easiest way, I've probably said it already, but the easiest way to understand what our hearts are is they are our soul's treasurer, okay? So they gauge what we value. They treasure what we believe to be our treasure. Now where I get that from the Bible is that Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our hearts are always where our treasure is. If you want to know where your heart is, you go to where your treasure is. They're always going to be there. They're always going to follow the treasure. And so here's what I want to say. When we say follow your heart, okay, let me just state that more crassly. Follow your heart is basically saying pursue what you want. Now, immediately, I think if we stop and think about it, we can feel the difference between those two things. Follow your heart has kind of this hazy, sacred journey feel to it. Pursue what you want is more crass, and you can feel the moral ambiguities in that statement more clearly. You can say, well, wait a minute. I don't always want what's good. Now, if you understand that, you can get why I say don't follow your heart, because your heart is your wanter. Okay? Pursue what you want helps us understand it. Your heart is your wanter, and it follows what it pursues, right? Mm-hmm. So what you're pursuing is the object that you're following, not your heart. Or if we say our heart is our treasurer, treasurer is always with the treasure. The treasure is what we follow. Okay, that's how our hearts are designed. Our hearts are designed to pursue our treasure. And so what makes it a good thing or a bad thing all depends on what our treasure is. That's why where your treasure is where your heart will be, is what Jesus says. And so if it can be a very good thing if your treasure is a very good thing, but it's an evil thing if your treasure is an evil thing.
Nicely stated, John, because those two distinctions, you know, follow your heart and pursue what you want. Makes it very clear in my mind, the difference.
Yeah.
And maybe this is where we also interject another verse from Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Ah, that's good. Delight yourself in the Lord.
In the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's the key.
So you're going after God. You mm-hmm. are pursuing God. You are following God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So your heart is a desirer. It's a wanter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a treasurer. And he will give you your desires in two ways. One is he will give you new desires. So to the degree that our hearts are corrupt.
Love that.
When we are born again and we are transformed gradually into the likeness of Jesus, we begin to want things that are increasingly what God wants and therefore holy and good.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll transform our desires and then he will give us what we desire.
That's crazy. I love that. That's great. Let me jump to a call. Todd's calling in from Minneapolis. Todd, welcome to the show. Hi, Todd.
Hi.
You have a question or comment for John and Pam?
Just some thoughts that the Holy Spirit was kind of laying into my heart as I was listening to your discussion on the phone. And one of the things that you kind of brought to the top of mind is the scripture that I'm paraphrasing here. But soul and spirit are at war, continually one with another. I've always sort of took that to mean that God's spirit is typically in direct conflict with our soul, and you can replace the word our soul with heart to tie it to the discussion you're having. So I always interpreted that to mean, you know, man's desire, our heart, our soul, is not really very closely aligned with God's Holy Spirit and his will for us. And hence, you know, they're continually at war one with another. And you just mentioned, as I was listening while I was on the hold, the scripture where Jesus speaks about where a man's heart is, there lies his treasure. That's another one I was hearing, so I'm glad you touched on that. And the third point I'd like to add is there's multiple scriptures that talk about kind of exercising dominion over our mind and our thoughts. And one of them that I'm kind of hearing or feeling is, as a man thinketh, so is he. Another one that I think kind of cascades from that is, what's in a man's heart proceedeth out of the lips. So I think it really kind of starts upstairs, since it's a thinking Thursday, we should be required to really exercise dominion in our thoughts, think about the good things of God and the Lord, And when we do that, we're okay. But when we start to wander and not really realize where our thoughts are coming from, some of those negative thoughts take seed in the heart, and then we start talking about it.
And yeah, I think
our heart is conflict with God's will, so then we don't line up and we're at war continually. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just said there is a biblical truth, because in Philippians 4:8, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, you know, think about these things. So there's the biblical backing to what you said about you know, directing our minds. Paul says if we want to affect our heart's affections, we need to direct our thoughts to whatever is true and noble and are honorable and just and pure. The Bible does make some distinctions between soul and heart. The soul is sort of the all of the human being, kind of wrapped up who we are at the core of our, you know, who we are. That's our soul. And our hearts are the part of our soul that is the treasure or the seat of our affections. But you know, the writer of the proverb in Proverbs 23:19 says that he wants to help us to be wise and to direct your heart in the way. So our hearts are to be directed, just like our minds are to be directed. And the way we direct our hearts is often through what we're thinking about, what we're dwelling on in our minds.
It's a great, great discussion. John or Pam, God doesn't really want our eyes fixed on our hearts, or does he? I mean, if our heart is where our treasure is, should our eyes be fixed there, or should we just have them fixed on Jesus alone? Or yes, or is that a both and?
Well, you know, we should assess our hearts. Part of the exercise here that Pam and I are recommending is that we are querying, or we are asking questions of our heart's desires. To find out, like, what is it that you want? Pursue what you want. Your heart, you're telling me to pursue this. Is this a good thing? And does this match up with the Bible? So in a sense, you examine your heart. But we also are instructed from the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, try me and know my ways. See if there be any unclean or evil way in me, and lead me. So when we really want to search our hearts and have them evaluated, really want God to do that as much as possible, which is why the Word of God is so important. Because the more the Word of God is hidden in our hearts, the less we are likely to sin against him, because it is shaping our hearts, what our hearts love.
I love the premise that our hearts are designed to be led and directed. It's not our place to say what we want to go do with our lives, but where our lives are to be coming into obedience to Christ and to follow him and be led by him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we were originally designed.
Mm-hmm.
To trust God, to live lives of faith in him, trusting him in everything and for all things, and to love him with all our hearts. That's how we were originally designed and what we're called to be.
So is there a good side to this follow your heart phrase? I mean, it's been used a gajillion times.
Well, I think in because of the common cultural understanding of the phrase, I think it's not very helpful. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's unclear to most people. Most people say, oh, yeah, I think you should follow your heart. But what they mean is probably not what the Bible means. I think it's more accurate to say you should look carefully at what you treasure, because you're going to follow your treasure. Jesus said that. Your heart will be where your treasure is, or follow it or pursue it. That's the way we work. We cannot help it. That's the way we are designed. It exposes us. That's the difference between what we say we love with our lips and what we do with our lives. Because we will do what our hearts, we will pursue what our hearts treasure. not what we necessarily say in the official line.
Do you think that some people will speak of Christians who are maybe are inspired and they have a vision for something and they don't have a language and they're not really intending to be carnal when they say, follow your heart, or my heart is just burning for this, or whatever language they say. They're trying to find language, and because it's common in their culture, they just borrow it and say, and then encourage one another. And maybe we just need to be careful with our language and our words and consider what would be a synonym that would be more specific and not vague, and would be, well, what is it in your heart that you're inspired by? If you're having a conversation with a friend, instead of just calling them out and saying, hey, I just heard this interview and you really shouldn't be following your hearts. It's like, well, why do we follow our hearts? What is it? Let's help each other be specific. And where does that inspiration go back to God? When God just gave me this compassion for this circumstance and I really want to help this need. Okay. Well, we can go do something with that. You're inspired. You don't have to call it follow your heart, but what else is it?
Yeah, that is an excellent question, because what I'm not saying is that we should never refer to our hearts as being, the things that tell us what we love. So when you say my heart is burning, that's absolutely appropriate. That's the way the heart works.
Mm-hmm.
It's burning over something.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's supposed to. And my heart loves it. If I say to you as my wife, I love you with all my heart, that's not a wrong thing. I hope that it's accurate. It's not always accurate because I'm a sinner, but
I'm not a trained counselor here.
But I'm not
just one man
following it. What it's doing is it's reflecting on you. And when we use the term follow your heart, it puts the heart almost as the sacred thing, almost in the in the place of God, and say, oh, I want that. So we're going to go up. I'm going to follow. It's a very confusing notion. So we should always speak, I think, about the way our hearts are is as what they are, which are as treasurers. And if we speak about it right, we will point to the things that we love or the things that we care about with great passion. And great compassion in appropriate cases, and without making them gods or without making our hearts gods. So we just talk about the heart, frankly, as the way the heart works. And we don't call the heart things that it's not. It's not a leader. It's not a shepherd. It's not a thing that we follow. It's the thing that treasures, and it points to what we treasure. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, a few hours of TV or one movie, and you're going to hear this message, follow your heart.
Yeah.
But if you're a parent and your daughter says, I met this guy and he's not a Christian and he lives in this commune in California, I'm going to go out there and live in the commune because I'm going to follow my heart. I think most parents would go, uh-oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You'd say to your child, well, let's take a look at what the Bible says about your
lifestyle. Yep.
And then you tell me if it matches with that. And then tell me then if that's – are you saying that what your heart wants is more true and more sacred and more trustworthy than what the Bible says? And if the child says yes, well, then that's a revealer of what the child really believes. The child believes that they are God,
mm-hmm.
and their desires are supreme, and they're unwilling to submit to God or anyone else. And they will suffer the consequences of it.
All right. Let's take a little break. It's Deep Thinker Thursday. John and Pam Bloom are in studio. We have time for maybe another call, 877-933-2484. 13 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back. It is 11 minutes until the top of the hour. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday. Thanks for listening today. It's Deep Thinker Thursday. John and Pam Bloom are in the studio. And Pam, during the break, you were having a deep thought. You were thinking, What were you thinking?
Well,
tell our listeners.
I was thinking, just as imagining myself as a listener, and like, what if I was feeling this conviction? Like, I've not been really careful about what I, about my heart and what I want. And I felt like it, if I want it, it's probably okay and not really tested. Or maybe I've made some decisions. I followed my heart and it's gotten me into trouble. And I just want to make sure we're ending with some note of hope, where there's just this glad repentance that God redeems our mistakes. He redeemed David's mistakes, where he followed his heart and regretted it. And he came with a humble, contrite heart before the Lord, and he was forgiven. And we know how God redeemed that. Like, this is not the end of our story. This is part of our story where we're all learning how to manage our heart and our affections and bring our heart under alignment to under God's sovereignty and his rules.
I bet it's safe to say just about everybody listening followed their heart on something and ended up with some heartache.
Yes, I have. I mean, there isn't a fallen human being that doesn't do this. And so we're just wanting to counter the cultural creed, test it, push back on it, so that we as believers are not sort of buying into something that's not true. But it is the common experience, and thank God that he is greater than our hearts, and he has done what we could not do for ourselves, and he has, as Ezekiel says, taken out a heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. It's not an absolutely pure, perfect, package, but it is renewed. And the more we treasure God and follow him, the less we will follow the impulses of our own heart and have our impulses directed and shaped by God. But there is endless amounts of forgiveness. God forgives. God forgave David for following his heart with Bathsheba. He had to live with some of the consequences of it, which were bad. But he was restored to God, and that's the gospel that is held out to all of us.
Mm-hmm. You're right, John. Follow your heart has a noble, heroic, adventurous, courageous ring to it, and it seems to carry a weight of moral obligation, as if to deny it would be to betray ourselves.
Right.
It sounds nearly sacred. If someone is on a quest to follow their heart, it feels almost like a violation to question whether they should. So did you ever hear that from your kids? I'm following my heart, or are your kids too smart?
Well, when your dad writes a book, don't follow your heart. That's not. I get jabbed with it sarcastically frequently, but my kids don't generally use that language.
They give us mugs and T-shirts with the.
But our best way to have a Christian to put the lens of Christ in front of this expression, this phrase that we've heard a billion times, so we can be effective in talking to people that come out with this.
Just say you don't follow your heart. Your heart follows something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you say. So, you know, if you have to confront somebody or challenge what somebody says, and it has that noble, heroic, almost sacred sound to it, you say, no, we don't follow our hearts. Our hearts follow something. So it's the something that's good or bad. What is that something? Because it can be good or it can be evil. And so our hearts, our hearts can love what's good or it can love what's evil. But we're not following our hearts. We are following something else. And it's that something else that we need to pay attention to.
In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ.
Yes.
That would be the deep prayer we have every day.
Yes. May he direct, may the Spirit direct us to God. That's what we want. Direct our hearts to God. That's what we want. We want God. We don't want our hearts. We worship God. We don't worship our hearts. Mm-hmm. We want to treasure God. He is the treasure. And so may the Spirit direct our hearts.
And either of you comment on Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let me start over. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know What is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints?
Yeah, so the heart there, the eyes, it's the eyes that see what's glorious, what's the treasure, the hope that is ahead of us. That's what we need, the eyes of our hearts enlightened so that sees what is truly valuable and values it, treasures it.
And I love Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah, that's where eyes are fixed. That's where we fix our eyes, not inwardly on our heart, but outwardly on our Savior.
Mm-hmm. And I love going back to Jeremiah 17 as I'm typing it and trying to get it booted up here as fast as I can. That has got some very powerful words in it about the heart. And I think it starts in about verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?
Yes.
And verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve.
Yep.
So God needs to be the one that's doing all the examining and searching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And our hearts are designed to be led.
Yes. Yes.
I like how you said a few minutes ago, like, to turn this into prayer, because, you know, we can have a Deep Thinker Thursday discussion about this, but in real life, in relationships, there's more nuance to how you talk about this.
Yeah.
And as we're talking, you know, the relationships where you've got some trust and some understanding where you can ask a hard question or make an observation, and then where that may not be there and you don't know how someone would reply, to in the quietness, maybe less words and more, God, would you address their heart? This is not something I can persuade someone, or that's not my mission.
Mm-hmm.
And to believe, God, you really are answering this. You care deeply about our hearts. You're offended when they are wayward and you're calling us back. And praying is more powerful than we know. You know, praying for our kids, where they're expecting an answer from us,
mm-hmm.
or a hard word. Maybe I'm still learning this. More quiet and watching how the Holy Spirit answers,
mm-hmm.
and being amazed where He does change our hearts.
Fantastic. I love having you in studio. I'm excited that next Thursday they will be joining me for the live broadcast of Afternoons with Bill Arnold. That's going to be here at the studio on the campus of the University of Northwestern. If you want to go and get a reserved seat, all you got to do is just go to myfaithradio.com and check it out. You can hit the button for I want to come to the live taping, and you can reserve a seat. And we'd love to have you. John and Pam will be there. So you guys just have to come be here at 9 a.m. For the makeup trailer. It's going to be a long day for you, just so you know.
Pam won't need it. I will.
That's going to be all happening next Thursday. So John and Pam, thank you so much for coming in. Looking forward to next Thursday. It'll be a lot of fun.
I know the
listeners will enjoy meeting you, and it's really fun to have a live audience, too. I've done it once before. I must say it's a lot of fun.
Good.
I hear it's fun. Yeah. You want to bring some books, John?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe a copy or two of your a book, Don't Follow Your Heart.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, that'd be great. That wraps up our show for the day. Thank you so much for listening. Go to myfaithradio.com and the afternoon page with Bill Arnold, and you can send out this podcast to a friend who might need to hear it. And don't follow your heart, follow the Lord. And have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.